A Day in the Park. Chicago's Lincoln Park was the site of much sound and fury during the week of the Democratic National Convention. This program was recorded in Lincoln Park and environs some of the day and much of the night, Tuesday, August 27, that is, Tuesday of convention week. It chronicles a typical day in the Life Festival. William Malik is the guide. He plays the typical white middle-class American who thinks he can stand aloof from all going on and not really become involved. He is in for a surprise. He ends up getting sunk in a corner gas pocket. Also featured are a variety of residents and guests of the city of Chicago. You want to know what it was actually like being there? Well, let me tell you, it wasn't easy. You know, you start out just sort of nonchalantly picking up various scraps of material. This is Bill Malik in Lincoln Park on the eve of the Democratic Convention. The sound you're hearing in the background is made by a group of people. Most of the men are in beards, all of them dressed as hippies, and it's a continuous sound which they seem to have been making for some time, which is probably some kind of om to sound to do with various religious feelings shared by the number of people who have probably come to this park from all parts of the country. The people in the center are trying to get the people on the periphery to sit down, which brings me to say that it looks like the evening's crowd here on a rather cool evening, not a hot evening in Chicago, is pretty equally divided between people who look like hippies and people who look like they're looking. I must say, looking around here, the majority of the people, including the hippies, look quite well-fed and very well-dressed for hippies, and very, very middle-class. Here's the, as usual, musical group playing with the drums and the flutes, as in all parts of the country and all parts of the world. Let's get close and listen to some of the music. Proverbially drink. One is under tremendous pressure, first of all, to gather a story under what could be almost suicidal conditions, and then to get it out and get it in before there's no point in having collected it at all. Certainly it is true that a drink or two helps give you the impression, at least, that the pressure isn't quite as great as you might have thought it was prior to those two drinks. Here are a couple of colorfully dressed people who I'm sure come directly from the Chicago area, right?
Right,
right.
Right.
I mean, all these talk about these importations, but I never see any. Everybody here thinks that everybody else is from out of town, but whenever I ask anybody, they're from Chicago.
Right. There's a lot of people in
Chicago. A lot of people.
Tell us all about it. Why do you like to live in Chicago? It's the greatest town in the world.
Huh? Oh, yeah, it's really groovy. Uh-huh. They have all the groovy cops here.
Uh-huh.
They like to beat your head in, uh-huh. You know.
Were you here last night?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was it fun?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They had all their nice tear gas and everything.
Well, it's very nice here right now. I hope the sun stays up for a long time tonight. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get to stay in the park tonight.
We're going to try to stay in the park tonight after last night?
Yeah.
Why?
Why not? It's our park.
You feel that you were unfairly dealt with?
Right. Because there really is no law against that. They've never enforced that before until the convention started.
Mm-hmm.
They've never thrown anybody out of the park.
Well, okay. And since you're going to give it your best, good luck to you.
All right.
It's very lovely in the east because, as Easterners know, but Californians don't, sun takes a long time to go down here. It starts going down around, maybe the 5 o'clock area, and doesn't really hit bottom until about 9 o'clock at night. And then the last few seconds, it kind of sinks pretty fast, but until then, it's a glowing red ball in the sky. The lake is gorgeous today. It's a really bright blue with a
slightly tinged with pink reminds me that not Venice, California, Venice, Italy at about the same time of night. This green area, huge Lincoln Park, and really the most attractive part of Chicago, because there aren't the buildings in the way to get in the way of the beauty, is peppered lightly here and there with red fires, all built out of the trash which is put by residents for the day into the waste baskets, and now all the fires are burning. I suppose it's illegal, but nobody seems to be complaining at the moment. Here's some young men carrying a picture aloft and a black flag. Who's that picture you're carrying around?
One of the leaders of the Black Panther.
What's his name?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I think that's Huey right there.
Oh, it looks like Huey Newton, doesn't it?
Yep.
And what did he do or didn't do?
They say he shot a pig.
Uh-huh.
And they got him arrested.
Uh-huh. You think people should be arrested for shooting pigs?
If the pigs shoot at them, they got a right to shoot back at them.
Okay, I don't want to interrupt your march too much. Thank you very much. You agree with your friend there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Pig, as you may know, is Chicagoese for policeman.
Who are you?
I'm Bill Malik of Pacifica Radio in Southern California.
Oh, I've been out there, yeah.
You have?
Sure, that's where I went to boot camp.
You have an FM radio?
Right, sure. Uh-huh.
Wearing a semi-army uniform here, sir. Are you connected with the service in any way?
I've been in.
You've been in?
Right.
Are you glad to be out?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think of it as a veteran? What do you have to say about the service?
I think it sucked.
And what does that mean?
Well, they give you a lot of orders and stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And you think they gave you too many orders, too much at the time?
I didn't mind the orders, but when they tell you to go to bed at a certain time, get up at a certain time, you know, you can see some kind of, if you're in there doing what you're, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, and yet they're still on you after liberty, you know, and stuff goes like that, and everything else.
And now you're doing more or less as you please.
Oh, yeah. Well, today I am. What's the scoop on your beard and mustache?
You mean, why do I wear it?
Right.
Well, because some people tell me it looks good.
Well, it does. It does, yeah. It does.
All right.
It looks good.
Thanks a lot.
That's all right.
Always ready to document it. A compliment. Whenever I feel bad, I'll just turn on the tape and listen to that little thing. Okay, thanks a lot. And now, suddenly, out of nowhere, the Panthers have formed a grand circle, and a meeting is taking place. I'd say there's about 2,000 people sitting and standing, listening
to
the speakers.
Okay, now we've got to get down to why we must understand that Huey Newton must be set free. Bobby Seale, free Huey!
The chairman of the Black Panther Party now speaks. Most of the crowd has been sitting. I'd say 1,500 of the 2,000 people. Now they're all standing.
Come out and speak to some people who are involved. Maybe emotionally and maybe in many respects, in a drastic situation of a developing revolution. We must understand that as we go forth to try and move the scurvy, reprobated pigs, the lynching-based Johnson, the fat pig Humphreys, the jive, double-lip-talking Nixon, the slick-talking McCarthy, we go forth to do the tear.
Part of the crowd stands up on that one.
All right. There are many kinds of guns. Many, many kinds of guns. But the strongest weapon that we have, the strongest weapon that we all, each individually have, is all of us. Unite to go forth and rid ourselves of the Democrats and the Republicans. We are here, as Elders Cleaver says, to send the jackass back to the farm and the elephant to the zoo. Power structure is stepping up in every major metropolis across this nation. Wherever there's a large residence of black people, wherever police departments in the last 3 and 4 years have been double, triple, and quadruple. So it's very necessary for us to understand the need for functional organization. It's very necessary for us, especially black brothers, listen close, that we have revolutionary principles to guide ourselves by. Because if we just go out in a jive gang, running around in big groups with rocks and bottles, we're not going to do nothing against 500 pigs with shotguns and 357 Magnum. Small groups use a proper revolutionary tactic so we can encircle those pigs who occupy our community like a foreign troop. Huey P. Newton, Minister of Defense, said once the racist dog pig policeman must withdraw from the black community or face the wrath of the armed black people. Now, I want to say something else to the white revolutionaries, if there are really any in here, and I hope they are. Yeah. You yourself, notice now, the last 2 years or so especially, and these northern cities where they said that is that police brutality black people to talk about really real or not? Well, the Oakland Adoption Center and the anti-drought, a hell of a lot of them found out. And last night, those of you who didn't know found out that those pigs not only were brutalized to kill black people, they're brutalized to kill even white people who want an end to their racism that they're perpetrating around this country and around the world. The 7,000 or 8,000 troops inside Chicago is nothing but to put the masses of the people, those people who are being duped with the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, in a frame of mind that they have to accept a war machine. The thing we have to understand is this, is that that big power structure is using every tactic it can to survive. Where in the history have we known the Democratic and the Republican Party, especially, to have 5,000 and 6,000 and 7,000 troops guarding their convention? It's not even a convention. It's a giant pig pen with a tough hog in there.
That was Bobby Seale of the Black Panther Party addressing the throng in Chicago's Lincoln Park. I might mention that there is a good many crash helmets in evidence today and various kinds of army dress. Perhaps now that I think of it, the attire of a good many people here in the park has changed since the events which went down last night. Driving down Clark Street in my Rent You All car, following a considerable number of people who have formed a parade, carrying flags and all kinds of banners, walking in the general direction of the bus terminal in order to support the black strikers in the current Chicago bus strike. They're creating quite a show as they go along, as you can hear, perhaps playing tambourines on the side. They've decided to move out of Lincoln Park and make Chicago feel their presence and their power. They're carrying black flags with the peace symbol on them. Most of them are dressed in Western clothes or as hippies or many jeans. Someone's carrying a sign saying Coalition for Anti-Imperialist Movement. The street is very filled with motorists and most of them are so far quite puzzled as to what's going on. The crowd is being followed by a good many newsmen. They don't appear at the moment to be too hostile toward these people. Probably has something to do with last night's events. Here comes another sign saying, get U.S. troops out of Vietnam. People on the street awaiting the hippie or yippie procession, cheering as you can hear. This is the first, in a sense, organized, purposeful social activity that the yippie-hippie movement has decided to take since its arrival or materialization in Chicago. Sections of the march erupt into little chants from time to time. Here's one. Ho Chi Minh chant. There seem to be a good many policemen along the route, both on foot and in cars, and so far they seem simply to have been...
If they do anything, we're going to cross the corner and meet up with the other group.
There's a good many policemen massed at the intersection just ahead on Drummond. There's a whole line of policemen stretched across this intersection at Drummond and Clark. A good many retired people in the area living on the second floor of what is a business district, but with residences above are looking out. Great curiosity. Some have put their windows up to look out, and some have put their windows down and taken their faces away from the window. The line of policemen ahead seems to have intimidated and stomped the crowd. The terminal building begins at Drummond and Clark. And evidently the police have come to the terminal building in order to await the marchers as they come. The police so far are standing and watching the marchers as they come by. But they have their billy clubs well in hand, and they are a burly and strong lot.
The streets belong to the people! The streets belong to the people! The streets belong to the people!
Get on the sidewalks!
The streets belong to the people! The streets belong
marchers
to the people!
Marchers are telling the people to get onto the sidewalks, and you heard the chant which just erupted a second ago.
The streets belong to the people! The streets belong to the people!
They're being cheered on by people on the side, to some extent. How long would you say the march is?
Oh, at least 3 blocks.
Monitors continue to admonish paraders to stay on the sidewalk. They don't want to waste their energies in a needless confrontation. They want to get to the place where the change of shift will take place. A bus is passing by, and the marchers are jeering it because it's being driven, first of all, and by a white driver. I just saw a member of the parade reach down into one of the pitted places in the Chicago street and pick up the equivalent of a rock and put it in his pocket for safekeeping, no doubt. Now we're coming to the next break in the street, This street is lined with black uniformed policemen, all holding their night sticks at port arms, more or less. Most of the policemen with their blue helmets on have, a good many of them have headsets on and are listening to, I believe so, a good many of them are listening to the proceedings of the Democratic National Convention. I see a live photographer I know here who has perhaps wisely purchased himself today a big crash helmet with the word press written across the top of it.
Move it! Move it! Move it!
The parade is told to keep moving by its monitors.
Get out of the way. Get out of the street, too.
Move to the other side of the street, please.
Move on the sidewalk, please, or on the other side of the street. Keep moving.
That was the voice of a policeman. Good many smiles in the crowd. People seem to be enjoying themselves. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you?
Support the transit workers.
I need some right there, dude.
Let's go, Wall.
Support the transit workers. Support the transit workers! Support the transit workers! Support the transit workers!
The crowd has now turned left at the intersection of Clark and Diversey Parkway, however you pronounce it, and are circling the block on which the bus terminal exists.
In 1917 with the Proletarian Party!
Yeah, I remember.
Jump!
People in the parade are telling the crowd to join them. People on all floors are looking out of their windows here.
Fellas, come on the sidewalk, will you? You go up ahead.
Gun, brother.
That was the policeman.
Don't touch that gun.
You heard them tell him to keep away from his gun.
Revolution, remember.
Another bus is passing by, and the crowd is jeering it.
Off the bus!
Rape
off
the women!
The bus. Off the bus!
Scab! Scab!
Scab!
Scab!
Scab!
Don't close your window, you're still a scab!
The crowd is now coming to the intersection of Halsted and Diversey, and they are turning down Halsted and going back in the direction from which they came. There's a police car parked practically in the middle of the street, carefully supervising their turnaround. Now the black residents of the area have begun to notice that the people have come to support the strike, which is by predominantly black bus drivers, and they are greeting the crowd with a good many smiles.
Where's your helmet, man?
Well, I just didn't get around to getting one today. I think it's a good idea. I'll go to the Army-Navy store tomorrow. How's that?
Yeah, that's a good idea, man. That's a real good idea.
If I'm, able to walk.
I hope you are, man. We got first aid people around to help you.
Some people have spilled out of a bar and are watching, kind of amused by what's going on.
Oh, I like it.
Here comes another bus. Here comes another bus. Somebody just threw a rock at it. Two of them threw rocks at the bus. I couldn't see who did it, but you could hear them, I think, even on this tape. One group from a bar has brought its drum set out into the street, across the street from the parade. Seems to be either supporting it or mocking it. Playing the cowbell. What's your reaction to all this, sir?
Oh, it's fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah? Yes. You like it? Or you?
I love it, I love it, I love it. Uh-huh. I love it, it's tremendous.
Does it communicate? I mean,
yes, it does. To be honest with you, 95% of them know what they're doing here, and the other people don't. Like, everybody else is just to support something that they other people believe in.
The group has just turned back to where they're coming from at the corner of Wrightwood and Halsted. And the word seems to be out that they're going back to the park. Now they're on a really residential street, and the inhabitants are really sticking their heads out, wondering what's going on. What's your reaction to this lady leaning out the window?
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Being asked to join the march. God, I thought I detected the smell of incense there for a minute. Yeah. Are you people going back to the park?
Yes.
Yes.
Right now.
Not yet.
What do you think is going to happen to you when you get there?
I might get hit over the head with a club.
And what will you think about that?
I just might pass out.
There's supposed to be, I heard rumors of a citizens committee that the clergy's forming that are supposed to put themselves between the pigs and us and stop the head busting and things because of what happened last night.
Really?
Yeah.
And are they due at the park tonight by any chance?
Yeah, from last I heard they were meeting at, I don't...
All the ministers are getting together and holding services from 11 till 4 tomorrow morning.
11 to 4?
All-night
service.
For the death.
Oh, really?
Where do you people come from anyway?
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
You come from Grand Rapids, Michigan?
Yes. Yes.
By God, did I see you there?
Probably.
That's fantastic. That's where I come from. What are you doing here? How did you get here?
We came down in a car. We like to represent Grand Rapids.
Do you know anyone else from Grand Rapids, Michigan that's here?
Just the kids I came down with, mm-hmm. A few more.
Do you hope to actually make some kind of effect and impact on people, or did you kind of just want to watch it happen?
You know, the only way you can, I mean, no one person can do it singly.
We hope to get a point across against segregation and the war in Vietnam.
You couple the two together. You're trying to say they're a couple together?
Yes, in a way.
Now it's true. The smell of food is passing under our noses, and this reporter, being hungry, notices that and doesn't know it did much good to call the attention of the audience. You seem to be distressed, lady, or am I misinterpreting that?
You're not.
What's your problem? What's your reaction to this? I'm talking to the lady who's a bystander, obviously.
What are you recording that for?
For Pacifica Radio.
Well, I tell you, I think it's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
I think it's insane.
Uh-huh.
I unfortunately have to work for a living. It's a bag I have to carry, but it's one thing you have to do.
Are you frightened to death?
I am not frightened. I am aggravated.
Uh-huh. And you're not the least bit amused.
I am not amused in the least.
And you're not moved by what it is that... You know what they're trying to do here at all?
What if it was your kids who needed the money?
Honey, huh? Baby.
It's different when it's your kids, right? Then it's easy. But when people are suffering, you don't care, right? Because you live here, and this is all you see. When I get up in the morning, you know what I see? I see 14 people in two rooms. That's what I see.
Honey, when I get up in the morning, I look at what I worked for. I went out and I waited on tables. Honey, I washed floors, and I got my college education. Take it and leave it, baby.
What are you doing when you got
five kids? Take your bag and blow.
What are you doing when you got five kids and your husband deserts you, huh?
Then, honey, you should have married him in the first place.
That's very easy. Therefore, everybody should drop dead, right?
That's right, honey.
Right, them and all their children, right? Is that it?
You're not my problem.
Thank you. I hope you don't go to church on Sunday. That's all. As long as you don't care about your fellow human who's suffering.
I do, but I do something
different. You do what? Oh, what do you do?
Honey, it's none of your business, because what you do isn't...
I feel that as a media person, I may be provoking this quarrel. And I have yes, I happen to have this Mahler button on.
Originally, it was
the Mahler Society of California. You're a Mahlerophile, sir, and you're marching in this parade?
Absolutely.
I see.
Absolutely.
How long has Gustav Mahler been something meaningful to you?
Since a chap named Richard Brzezinski turned me on with a Resurrection Symphony.
Do you think there's any connection somehow between Mahler, McCarthy, and political action?
Nothing more than happenstance proximity in my case. I happen to like all of them.
I've noticed that an awful lot of people who like Mahler seem to also like to be sort of militant, and I can't quite figure out precisely why. I have a feeling for it, but I can't figure out intellectually why.
Mm.
What part of the country do you come from, sir?
I come from the Brattonall suburb of Cleveland, Ohio.
I see. And you hope to make something effective here by marching? I mean, do you think you'll communicate to the general public at all in this way?
Sir, I march because I dare not sit.
Well, very often people standing on the side assume that no one in this crowd works for a living. And these people.
Oh, my friend, they could not be more mistaken.
What is it that you
have? I'm a full-time student, so's Larry. We both work for it. We go to school strictly on our own hook. We save money when we work. We earn money when we work. We sweat. We put in an honorable, full, hard day's work to get our money. And then, because we've got a goal in mind, we keep it. Now, you take these people that are trapped by the cycle of time payments and supporting a family and all of that, who work because they are compelled to have a certain amount of money on the line every week. And surely, they're going to be resentful at people who have a different lifestyle, especially if the lifestyle seems to be more pleasurable, because it seems that we've got something that they haven't, whereas in fact they can have it if they choose to. Sure, we're saving the money we earn in order to do things we want to do, in order to have things we want to have, and in order to pay flat cash for them, so we don't get trapped by the cycle of time payments.
The crowd is now turned right at Wrightwood and Clark and is heading back down toward the park.
Here's a one of the medics. I don't quite know. How do you describe yourself? What's your organization?
Well, we're sort of a voluntary team working out of several churches and other places around the Lincoln Park area. And we have med students, doctors, first aid instructors, nurses, anybody who'd volunteer.
Have the main body of people now come back to the park from the parade?
We don't really know.
Did you see a grand procession come back?
There's no grand procession anywhere. There are small groups down at the bus barns on Halsted. There was a rumor that there are 1,000 at the Coliseum sitting around playing music at one another. There are people who headed for Grant Park. There are people who have come back from Grant Park. I wouldn't say there are more than 300 or 400 people here in Lincoln Park right now at the most. So nobody seems to know where anybody is.
Well, they were sort of instructed tonight to spread themselves around the city, weren't they?
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't want to comment on that. But National Mobilization Headquarters, according to the information that I received over the telephone, has very little idea of where their people are going to go.
These medics have walkie-talkies here, and they think they've got a rumor going that the main body of people is, in fact, coming back to the park.
Do you imagine, sir, that there's going to be any kind of confrontation tonight between police and yippie-hippie people comparable to last night?
I don't think there's any question about it, whether it'll be here or in Grant Park or somewhere else, but I'm afraid that it's going to happen.
Have they taken any precautions tonight compared to last night? Is there anything that's going to be tried to stop the violence?
I'm afraid there is a group of ministers at large, and I think they are with the main delegation currently, perhaps down at the Coliseum. But I'm afraid in view of the situation that nothing that could be tried will accomplish anything. There are just too many people.
Thank you.
I'm in the park now. It's almost 11. Sir, you looked as if you're dressed as a minister, and that you look as if you're walking in some kind of parade here in the almost complete darkness of the park. What are you doing here?
The ministers and priests of the area have formed to support the citizens in asking that this park be open for 24 hours. A curfew has never been enforced until this week and is not enforced in any other park in Chicago. And so we, along with many of the citizens in the area, have requested repeatedly that the curfew not be enforced, as it is not in the rest of the city, and that also that there will be a place for these people to stay without harassment.
How many of you are there here tonight, do you estimate?
There are approximately 75.
I see. Are you going to conduct some kind of service?
Yes, we are.
Thank you very much. Well, that's a change from the pattern of activity in the past. The group of people who remains in the park, plus the ministers involved, have gathered in front of a large wooden cross erected not far from one of the lampposts, which remains lit inside Lincoln Park. I see more than one guitar in the crowd. One of the people with a guitar is a minister. Most of the people in this crowd are in their 30s or older, and they do not appear to be the least bit yip-looking. Somebody just set off a flurry of firecrackers the other side of the park. The people are lined up by the cross, and the minister is signaling for them to sit down on the grass. And as you can hear, the assembled multitude has begun to sing songs that have religious significance to them and to perhaps many other people.
Down by the riverside.
Worship service.
We'd like to call on Reverend Fred Trost, pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ, to preach to us, and these sermons are going to be short, I promise you. All right? Reverend Trost. As we come together in the peace of this park, we remember on this night our brothers and our sisters, not only in this place, but also in the far-off places of the earth, who are suffering from the kind of brutality that man is able to inflict upon man. This gathering is a sign of that hope that we all have, that in the Lord of history, it is not this man who takes that man and crushes him in his hand who rules, but the Lord of history, who is the one who rules our life and calls us to obedience and joy.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Have just come back into the park from their various marches, and they're milling about the prayer meeting, watching it going on. Everyone in the assembled congregation raises the peace sign, the peace and the V sign.
We who are the clergy sitting here have come easily. We have watched your battles on the late show and on the news. And I think we as a clergy here should now applaud the dedication and the patience of those who have had to endure our police force.
Yeah! And both the Yips and the members of the congregation, the older people who have come here, agree on that, and as you can hear, there's a grand round of applause. Heard the hippie ask if they're going to stay tonight, and the minister says yes.
My announcement is in regard to a group of people whose dedication perhaps has been missed. They have worked with their white coats and red crosses. Some of them came from distant places, such as New York City, out of their commitment to the healing power of people. The medical unit is here behind us. And I think that we ought to show our dedication to them. They weren't wanted here either, and they were harassed too, and they had to help bind up the wounds.
Great. And the medics are being introduced to the crowd, and everybody is digging them.
Be calm. Our objective is to stay, not to leave. The best thing we can all do now is sit down. Don't stand, because if you stand, you have the temptation to run. Please sit down.
And everybody in the area, including the religious people and the Yippies, are sitting down. And now they're all starting to sing.
Oh.
Somebody's passing on fire sparklers into the crowd. Perhaps they'll light them all at once.
Well, the bus came here 2 nights ago, and we were hemmed up against the wall by those who felt it was time to beat in heads. We were pretty stunned. We didn't mind so much being called dirty son of a bitch. But what really bothered us was the way knees were being cracked, heads were being hurt. But what really bothered me was the delight on the faces of some of our policemen. Somehow the humor that was there as we went down to the corner of Wells and North, and we saw that humor on their faces, suddenly was turned off by some kind of an order, and the sticks began to fly. Our clergy got together and said, we cannot watch this on the 10 o'clock news. We cannot sit back. If there is any hope for the city of Chicago, if there is any hope for any of our cities, if there is any hope for anybody anywhere, then we have to get involved in what's going on. And so we sent back over here last night 65 clergy, and we came and we weren't quite sure what we were doing. Most of us had never smelt the gas or had our eyes watered. But now we know, and we know how to wet the handkerchief and put it to the mouth and breathe through that moist part of the handkerchief if we have to. We are here to be with you.
Fire sparklers are now lit and people are holding them all over the site. It's really very pretty.
They seem to be. We want to thank you for joining our crusade.
A yippee from the periphery of the crowd.
We have come here tonight with a substantial portion of the people who live in Lincoln Park who do not want their park treated by our police department. And we have come here tonight to reclaim this park, which is our park. Yeah.
Once again, the peace and love. The sign goes up in the crowd.
Hey, hey, LBJ, how many cats you killed today?
Hey, hey, LBJ, how many cats you killed today? Hey, hey, LBJ, how many cats you killed today? Hey, hey, LBJ, how many cats you killed today?
And this is put forward by the congregation and the kids as a birthday greeting to Lyndon Johnson. Once again with firecrackers going off in the background, another very familiar song is sung as the V-signs go up once again.
Picture in the paper.
Yeah, I don't want it in the paper.
Where
the name Studs Terkel, but he talks to us in Chicago every morning on WFMT. And he's the one who's been trying to tell this city like it is, not only here, but in the peace and war. And I bring you one of our great prophets, Studs Terkel.
Well, I like to be where life is, and life is here. Do you dig? I like to be where life is. Life is here. Does that make sense? Therefore, I'm not at the amphitheater where apparently life is not. And so, obviously, there's one thing, two things down in life. Joy and beauty, and that's here. And ugliness does not count. This is a simple 2+2 truism. So there's really no mystery about people being here tonight, because it's life as against something else. So thank you very much, that's all. I like Reverend Young and all of you here. And thus we're here for a very simple purpose, to celebrate our being young at heart, I suppose, and that's about it. And come what may, I think we'll enjoy our company very much, each other's company. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stud.
That's Studs Terkel, a voice many of Pacifica listeners have heard many times on programs that have originated from Chicago.
Black and white together. Black and white together.
Comes from the periphery of the group, is entertained by the worshipers in the center. It's now about 20 minutes to 12. Last night, the police moved on the crowd at about midnight. No police are visible so far. Minister standing here has a rather interesting story. What church are you associated with, sir?
With United Church of Christ.
And what happened to you at the zoo?
We were here Sunday afternoon, and the police charged and knocked my wife down, who was carrying a small baby.
What time of day?
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
What do you imagine was the justification for that?
Well, they said they were trying to clear the park. There were kids playing baseball, people with their children. There were all sorts of people in the park on Sunday afternoon.
And of course, there's no reason to clear the park on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, not that I could see. There was a crowd of people, and we walked over to see what was happening. And the police charged in, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 motorcycles, going as fast as they could.
The lady here just handed me a jar of Vaseline. What's that for, miss?
This is for tear gas and mace.
I see.
If you do get tear gas, then you must wet a cloth, very, very wet, to clean your eyes and to hold over your breath.
I'll now shut off the machine and use it.
I've been asked by one of the marshals to announce that 1,000 of our group will be approaching soon up Michigan Avenue, returning from the Coliseum.
We were talking before about American imperialism and the blacks and whites not getting together. Now, I didn't notice that. There's some people in this country that are getting together. Bobby Seale earlier this evening was saying, if the whites, you know, want to get their shit together, they got to get out on the streets with the blacks. Now, this religious ceremony that I can see, like, I think that's nice and stuff, but it's not too relevant to our situation. What we're talking about, being revolutionary means being radical, and vice versa. And that doesn't mean that you take, you know, any old liberal thing and you just sort of inch along and you're eventually a radical. There's got to be a gap that you jump, man. You don't just inch along. And, okay, the cops didn't give us the park, right, the last three nights? So we went out and they took the street. What if they did leave us in the park, huh? Then everybody would have turned down and everybody would have slept in the park and nobody would have learned anything. And what I've noticed is that in the last three nights out in the streets, people have been learning a hell of a lot. And they've been learning how to act a lot looser. Hi. They've been getting their heads together, and a lot of things have been happening. Now, just sitting here like guinea pigs so that the clergyman could get busted and have, the press say, oh, wow, you know, a bunch of clergymen got busted. Well, black people have been dying all the time.
This long-haired man with dark glasses at this time of the night, too, sitting on the edge. You've been here through all this so far, sir?
Yes, so far.
What's your reaction to these people coming in here? Do you think there's any resentment on the part of the regulars, sort of?
I don't think so. I think for the first time there's a spirit of brotherhood here that didn't exist at other rallies, where all kinds of people, Negro, whites, very straight people, very freaked out people, and they're all staying here together. And I think there's really a good feeling for the first time.
Do you think the police will actually come tonight?
Yeah, I believe so. They're lining up over there now.
Here's another fellow with the long hair who's been, you've been here through the whole thing?
Yes, I have.
And what's your reaction to the religious people coming here? Do you like it that they're here or not?
Yeah, sure, you know, it's all right. Uh-huh. That they're inspiration, you know? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. If they're behind us, why not?
I understand so, the police are on the way. Is that right?
Right, they're going to be moving up soon.
I really wonder if the police know the clergy is here with their cross. Do you think they know it?
Yeah, sure. They were here last night, too.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A huge cordon of police is lined up across the outer edge of the park, and they're broadcasting a warning. And there is a wall of policemen more than one deep for us. As far as I can see from one side to the other, the police have just issued a 5-minute warning to the people inside the park. You can hear the people shouting to the police that famous old call. The police are shining their lights over here, and there are many people standing there watching them. I wonder which one of those people will be picked off once the police start to move. There are two paddy wagons and more than one police car, although there's only one police car close that I can see. So evidently Mayor Daley's going to do it again, put on the same show he put on last night. A group of ministers have walked forward directly in the path that the police will have to cover in order to rouse the people who are in the park. And there's a tremendous mob of people here now, several thousand, I would think. And they are going to stand there in front of the police holding the cross, and the crowd has just cheered the fact that this is part of the action to be expected. The police have just announced once again, I'm told, I didn't hear the announcement, that all newsmen are to leave the park.
No.
Police and their police cars are starting to close in. You can hear the crowd singing a very well-known tune as the police cars seem to be coming closer and closer. The report is that the police have just donned their masks. Here they come. The crowd is told to walk. As the police start to close, the crowd is starting to move, but I can't exactly tell why, because it's so dark. They're shouting, hell no, we won't. And they're being told to sit down. People are running, and I'm running with them. But it looks like a fantastic sight. It looks like the French Revolution, because the people are running over a knoll. And it's very dark here, but the top half is lit
by police lights. The top half of what you see is brightly lit by police lights, but the bottom half is dark. There's a cloud of grand orange-yellow smoke coming up on the other side of the hill. You can see hard helmets coming over with raised sticks, and they're silhouetted in a, as I say, like the French Revolution. They're silhouetted against this yellow orange cloud which they've created, which is probably tear gas. The lights, once they're reflected through this dark cloud, become suddenly orange like the sun at sunset. You can see people everywhere. They don't seem to be running right now, they seem to be walking. The police have made it absolutely impossible for them to stay there because there's a huge gas cloud now where the religious people were sitting. God knows how many of them are there, but I'll tell you that it is an amazing sight as these people, now the policemen, gas masks on, I assume, are emerging from this cloud. There doesn't seem to be much left back there but policemen. But one assumes that those are cherry bombs that one hears and not the sounds of rifle. But you can see these silhouetted, gun-toting, gas-masked policemen walking over the top of this hill through the smoke, which now is taking on a greenish cast. By God, it looks like we're out in the trenches in World War I. There's a big truck, too, coming. Anyone might think it was a tank. The resistance has saved a little ammunition of its own. All scare bombs, all cherry bombs, as far as I can tell. And it's very difficult to now see where the police are. They seem to be moving very slowly. After all, they're protected from the gas. And whether or not there are people still behind them, whether people being arrested or dragged off into patrol cars is something I simply can't tell from here.
That's the greatest thing that ever happened.
What happened? What happened?
Something, he threw something at him.
Oh, somebody threw something at one of the police?
One of the policemen, yeah.
Oh, really?
The fascist.
No kidding. And here comes a huge truck with lights. My God, what are all the lights for? Does the police have its own TV mounted on this huge red truck with a rack of at least just three racks of lights that are mounted up on top of this what looks like a huge fire truck? And of course the people all around me are now yelling to take to the streets, because after all, where else can they go? Now one can see the policemen once again, lit up by the lights of their own truck, still advancing across the park. It smells like the 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. It smells like Independence Day, just like when you set fireworks off in your own backyard. Now people are now closing in on the police and yelling out, and the police are just standing there with their truck and with their guns and with their masks. Well, not all of them are masked now. Now they put their masks on again, and now they're starting to move. They're probably going to come on with the gas again, I would imagine. Here come the police once again, throwing their bombs. The crowd is running, and I am not yet trampled. You can hear them all around me. There's a great yellow cloud not very far from me, which is expanding, but it isn't expanding as fast as I am running. I'm almost at the parking lot where, fortunately, I hope I can hide in my Hertz rented car. Well, the people had their one last moment of being able to hurl insults at the police. You have a piece of cloth up on your face, lady. What happened to you?
I was gassed.
Yeah? Where were you when it happened?
I was sitting peacefully in the park singing We Shall Overcome, praying to God with a cross.
And you were overcome. And here comes a huge truck on my left, so I'm going to get out of here. Somebody's kicked over a burning wastebasket into the street as some kind of feeble protest against what's happening. It's fantastic to see this war scene in the middle of Lincoln Park, in the middle of Chicago in the U.S. Looks like the war has finally come to the USA. I wonder if the military used these huge lights out in other battlefields like Vietnam. It looks like a gigantic fly's eye mounted on top of a red fire truck. There must be 100 lights on the top of each one of these two trucks. Here come the trucks again, driving right through the park. One of the trucks is precariously close to the people here, but we are almost in the street, and if the policemen throw many more tear gas bombs, they're going to start to tear gas the motorists who are riding in the street, and the motorists will probably not think too much of that. But the gas is really amazingly close to where I am. They're riding down the street and they're spraying it out, whether it's gas or mace or whatever it is. And people are throwing things back at the police now and being cheered on by the crowd when something happens to land. I don't know what it is that's landing. I can't tell. It really is a fantastic sight. Such
you want a radio?
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say something?
Yes, absolutely. Don't shout, just say
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, what is your mayor doing to the men, working men, men of families, who are your policemen? Will they be the same men next week? What is this going to do to them?
Did you sit it out, lady?
Yes, I did.
And did you receive any gas blessing or anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, my eyes sting. I finally got water.
The next thing that happens is the motorists are going to be...
This gas is going to come over into this area now.
Sure, and
all
the residents are going to get it, aren't they?
It's ridiculous. But my main concern is that my policeman is my fellow man, but next week he won't be the same.
The police car is being stoned right in front of me. Everything conceivable is being hurled at it. Yeah, including a crash helmet. A wastebasket. Policeman can't get his car going. Somebody may have worked on it. Somebody may have done something to it. He's got a gun with him. He's running. He's jumping out of the car and running into the crowd, trying to. He abandoned his car and he escaped. He left. He ran away. There's melee. There's mayhem in the streets everywhere. There's a policeman who's run out after this person with a rifle. The whole street is like a war-torn street. The gas is on its way, and I'm getting a full belt of it. I'm now standing inside an apartment house because I'm chicken. Just shut the door, but it has a glass door and I can see through it. Other people are coming in.
Get in here.
Yeah.
Get in here.
The girl just got a full face full of it and she's crying. Yeah. She's crying probably not as much as from the pain as from the disbelief of actually experiencing something like this.
No. I wonder if the best thing is to run out of this area.
I'm going to make a run for it. I can't see a thing. Try to get out of the area. Tear gas makes you, whatever it is they use, just burns your eyes, burns your throat, burns your face. My face is covered with Vaseline. Kind lady gave it to me. I sort of took it in a joking way. I thought, oh well, what the heck, I'll put it on and see what happens. I didn't like the way it made me look. I guess I'm kind of glad that I have it on right now. You think I could wash my face off?
Surely. I'll bring you some Kleenex and water.
Okay, there's a lady standing by a porch who offered to come to my aid, and I really feel like asking for help for the moment. I'm so glad to know that the Democratic convention will be over about a week from now in Chicago. It's wonderful that Chicago is a wealthy enough city to be able to enjoy the luxury of gassing so many of its citizens and guests every evening at a predictable hour. I'm now wiping my face off with water, which a kind Samaritan lady in a bathrobe has brought out to me on the front porch. Water and Kleenex. Yeah, right. So comes somebody else for the same help. What are you, sir? You're a delegate? You have a thing to get you on into the amphitheater. Why are you out here tonight?
Someday I'll have to explain that to you when I figure it out myself.
Kleenex and water?
What?
Kleenex and water?
Sure.
You get gas?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
I suppose the residents in this area every night for a while this week will have to experience this kind of thing.
I guess so. I can feel the gas now.
You can feel it now?
Yeah. Surely.
Well, they say war unites people. And the Battle of Britain did it for the United Kingdom. Maybe the Battle of Lincoln Park will do it for the USA. I don't know. I do feel a little bit like getting off my objective stand for the moment, but I must admit it is fascinating. This is really, it is absolutely true. It's the best show I've been at and a part of in a long time. I'm not quite sure I'll come to see it again, but it certainly was a magnificent production. I mean, it outdid Cinerama, Cinemascope. It was more the style of D.W. Griffith, I think, more World War I style than World War II or Cecil B. DeMille. And the young lady here just mentioned, too, the smell-o-rama. That's absolutely true. And here's some more sound-o-rama. Police car coming down right in front of us. Police car just tore down the street, and it is stopped now in the center of the street. What happened?
I don't know, we just ran out. There's a cop car up there. He's got his door open.
He tried to ram some kind of a barricade that the kids erected in the middle of the street. Or somebody erected in the middle of the street. A barricade of wastebasket. It's possible a policeman down there has been injured. What do you bet? Yeah. What happened?
Policeman got hurt pretty bad.
Policeman got hurt? Did somebody throw something at him as he went down?
Yeah, a brick went through their windshield.
That's what happened. Brick went right through the windshield and hurt the policeman enough to make him stop the car. Hi. Some firecrackers have been let off in the street. Cheers of at least one person in the crowd. Now America has had its city wars. All it needs now is its ruins. Of course, there are plenty of ruins in Chicago all over. It's called urban redevelopment. I met a life photographer today who was attired in a crash helmet, and I thought it was sort of amusing. I don't think so anymore. I don't really think it's any good to... There's no use having crash helmets, because you don't only have to have a crash helmet, you have to have a gas mask. In order properly to report the news. They're turning on the fire hydrants in Old Town as a kind of a protest and a way of clearing the air. And some of the people who are in the park are yelling and screaming to small crowds about the injustices that have been visited upon them.
I'd like to see everybody have what they're asking for.
Don't you think in a way they're getting it?
I hope so.
That was a resident who was leaning on her iron railing in her apartment house, which she owns a block from the park, where the fumes have more than drifted. Police have just cleared the street. Now a patrol car policeman with rifles has gotten out at the corner, and they're standing on the corner holding their rifles. News reporter is standing there, seemingly invisible. Myself, I don't feel so invisible. I'm standing across the street. Some people are being loaded into the paddy wagons.
One doesn't precisely know what. What happened?
They throw some gal in a wagon. Isn't that great? I live here.
What for? Was she
standing in a corner. Isn't that beautiful?
How the hell can they do that?
If you were a prostitute, she'd be gone.
Yeah, right. Where the delegates are.
Holy mackerel. Dick Daly's going to give this town a worse name than Al Capone ever did.
The police are simply loading people into the paddy wagon when they are on the streets and don't get off the street.
Look at this. Holy mackerel. Look at that.
Five police
Holy
cars.
Holy crap. Look at that. That's a bigger fleet than we had in the Europe. Oh.
Look, it's a whole line of police cars.
Aren't they a bunch of...
Come on up the steps. Wait,
okay. The streets are being cleared. The police are telling us to get off the streets. We're standing on a kind person's front porch watching it happen.
Give a jerk a helmet and a gun and a club, and he wants to use them.
That's where the guys ran who probably threw the brick. You know, that we saw about five guys running in that direction. These police cars may be brought out to surround that block and make a house-to-house comb of it till they find the people who they think hurt the policeman. Now the police are coming back this way, about eight of them, walking down the street. These are policemen in black uniforms. A whole car has just passed by, filled with cops with two riding on the back. They're really looking around here.
What would you like? A clown, a helmet, and a club. He wants to use the club.
You lived in this neighborhood for how long?
I lived in this neighborhood for 30 years, and Lincoln Park never was closed at 11 p.m. They put these signs up 2 weeks ago. Park closed at 11 p.m. In the hot weather, people always went over there and slept all night. When before the days of air conditioning, everybody always slept in Lincoln Park. What's this going to do, hurt the grass or something?
I think the gas might hurt the grass.
I find it very hard to believe that the Democrats seriously could mention even once the idea of nominating for the vice presidency a man like Dick Daley, who put this city in a position like this, the man who said shoot to kill during the racial uprest last April on the West Side after Martin Luther King's assassination. This is the man that is responsible for all this silly violence right now. Yes, sir. That's our beloved mayor. And how could the Democrats possibly think that they could name a man like this to be in a position of responsibility?
You're not asking me that question, sir.
I can't understand it. The whole thing is so very simple. Everybody says, what are the yippies and hippies hollering about? I'm an old guy. I'm a gray-haired guy. I'm not a young fellow. I got daughters who are grown and all this kind of stuff. They say, what are they protesting about? What's it all about? It's very simple. They're against the Vietnam War. That's all. Any kid their age who doesn't want to go over to Vietnam and get shot is not an idiot. In my book, that's what this whole thing is about. You think these same kids that are against the stupid political establishment this year are going to be any farther right 4 years from now? They certainly are not. This is the beginning of something where the young people are gonna tell the old fuds off.
To get a move on.
Well, my God, that's the way it's going to be. This is the first breakthrough. The young people are trying to break the news to the old establishment fuds that there's got to be a new way of thinking. And in 1968, they're not getting anywhere. They're getting tear gassed. But 4 years from now, they're going to be old. They're all going to be old enough and voting, and the respectable parties are going to have to pay attention to them.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to A Day in the Park, a program recorded and engineered and experienced by William Malik. It says right here on the tape label that the events depicted actually took place in Chicago's Lincoln Park and environs Tuesday, the week of the Democratic Convention, that is, August 27, and that the cast is made up of guests and residents of the city of Chicago. Even now, hearing this tape played back, it's hard to believe that any of it ever took place. I had better get used to the idea that it did, for I frequently hear it said that what I witnessed wasn't really a production at all, only a rehearsal, and that it's well to get in line right now if one wants to witness the soon-to-be-released uncut, full length and breadth version as presented by guests and residents of the USA and their allies and enemies located in various parts of the world and the next. This is William Malick.